Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show. They be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
is you living?
We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gang got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my pills dead, they took the wrong. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it, really trying to be about it. Never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence.
Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma.
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed.
May he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me. Knowing prison dangers, doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and I repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Salat wa salam wa la rasulullah mubad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh to the believers. And salam, peace to you all. Welcome to another night of Point of Impact, y'all. That's right, Point of Impact. Y'all know what we do. We doing it live here tonight, Sunday night, the 5th of March, starting off the first week of this new month. And I welcome everyone to the show. Just to be quick and brief, before I introduce everyone, I want to just go ahead and introduce a young man who's online calling in direct from Buckingham Prison and Correctional Center in Virginia. And he's here because he won the contest last week with the Black contest that they had, Black Unity, which was sponsored by one of our presidents of Freedom Over Everything. And what's your name, brother? Bo? Brother Bo?
Yeah, that's Bo.
Okay, okay. And Bo going to spit a little something for us, y'all. You going to give us a little remnants of what you put down last week?
Yeah, do I need to wash my language or something up here?
Well, you know what I'm saying? Handle your business, man. We adults here. You know, handle
right,
your business,
all
man.
Right.
All right.
I say, when I spit to come close, then you better hope. All my shit hard, and I come with a heavy dose. Both of us already should know the difference, that I'm Gino Oriemo on the mic, and you cons should know you bitches. So much green behind me, my name should have been Carla. If she ain't wanted on her face, then you should have swallowed. If you wanted something harder, then you should have hollered. If your shit ain't nice as mine, then you shouldn't follow. The mic around, I'm elite in a couple things. Fly with the tongue, like my tonsils got a couple wings. To rip anything, Stacks had the best suit, and I warn you not to spit around me unless it's chest mucus. I open my mouth, niggas supposed to be hype, and you got these niggas fooled, like you supposed to be nice. Lying in the ciphers, hoping that we fill them, but they know who the nicest hands down, like Wendy Williams. So how you doing? I'm paid as a motherfucker. Pow, pow, touche to you, motherfucker. Whoever talk like I don't hold my own, when I carry something that'll make your ass jump higher than Lolo Jones, if it's beef, you better know the difference. Before I had the dudes around me start acting stupid like this is Special Olympics. But I'm chilling, you know, calm and collect, believe who. When you know it's all in your set, so don't preach to me because I'ma say I'm good. Jesus teach me when he died on somebody else would. Cowards are always that shaking, and rats always come around smiling, looking for conversation.
Okay, bro. I appreciate that, right, man. We love that, man. Yo, you hear him there, Spence? Queen Mother, you hear the brother? Hey, how
yeah,
that?
I
you
hear
might
him too.
Want...
I hear him too.
Yeah. You might want to watch him back, man. We got one coming, man.
you got a few coming.
Brother Bo,
you got a few coming.
Yeah. Hey, Bo, you want to tell the people your full name, brother?
Yeah, my name's Brian Johnson, man.
Okay. Where you from, brother?
I'm from Norfolk.
Ocean View. Yeah. It's a new day out there at Ocean View, brother.
I already know.
How long you been down? How long you been down,
Coach?
Since
2004, man.
Okay. And hopefully we hoping that you looking to come home soon.
We trying, you know what I mean? We still shooting at it.
Okay. Well, you know, we here for you, and we definitely appreciate you calling in and being a part of this show tonight. You know, anything that we can do, Community United Focus and Freedom Over Everything, man, reach out to us. You got my number. You just logged me in. You can give me a call, man, and I'm here to talk and build with you in any way that I can, okay? And definitely help you and aid you, brother. We're real proud of what you're doing in there. And keep, most importantly, brother, keep your vision alive and keep that positivity alive, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's what's most important, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't let them keep you in that barbed wire city.
Thank you for the opportunity, man.
Oh, nah, brother. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah,
you know, we thank you
that's
for
right.
the opportunity,
thank you,
brother. So you just keep up the good work, man. And we here with you, okay, brother?
All right, you have a good
one. You too, brother. Peace and love, man. We love you, man. Stay strong, beloved.
Peace.
All right.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
On tonight's show.
Thank you for using GPL.
Tonight's show, yeah, we have a wonderful brother coming back to join us, Councilman John Page, who's out here in Norfolk. And I can't wait for him to speak to the people and share with you all his vision, his goals for our community, and the things that he's striving for, and just sharing with us his experience and his campaign win. And we're thankful for him to return to us. Mr. Page, Councilman, are you there? Hello? Okay. Hold on. Let me... Councilman John Page? Hit one. Press one, sir. Is he there? Hold on. Let me see.
Sir?
John Page?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you, brother.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Mr. John Page, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome to the show tonight, brother.
Thank you.
It's an honor.
Thank you very much. The honor is all mine, man. I appreciate what you're doing for the community that most people forget about, other than those of us that are dealing with family members or friends or whoever we may be connected to that's dealing with incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
What we must maintain is that these brothers are coming home, and we must prepare to wait because we need all hands on deck. Yeah,
that's right.
None.
Absolutely.
We need all hands
that's
on
right.
deck. So I really appreciate the fact that you're taking the time to deal with what it is that you've been through in a way where you're helping others that are going through it. I believe if we practice that formula throughout, we begin to ease the trauma and the pain that we deal with in our community. No one is coming for us. We don't fix it, it don't get done. Yeah, we don't do it ourselves.
I hear you,
don't
bro.
Get done. Yes, sir.
We have my co-host on, Miss Mother Queen, Krista Ellison, and brother to the people, Hassan Shabazz. So
yes, sir.
I'm gonna let the Queen Mother present the first question. Would you like to present, sis?
Now that you are in office, what is the ultimate, first task of order, of getting things in order? I know it's kind of hard of trying to just transform what someone else has already put in place. And a lot of times it takes more time than you have in office to really implement the changes. But what would be the fast, quickest fix, first thing that you have on your agenda?
Well, Sister Queen, this is an awesome question, and it's really open-ended. When you're running for office, you're presenting your plans, you're standing up for the things that you see that you would like to be different. And, of course, once you're elected and you get in, you have a different view of information and a different understanding based on information that's not generally put out to the populace. So one thing that I want to change is that I believe that we're intelligent enough to know all things to deal with government that's designed to serve the people, not the people serve it. So to open up transparency so that we all can begin to make decisions together for our betterment, not to allow for people to be outside of the know and to stand in the position of against what's happening without knowing what's fully going on. So earning the right to speak to the people and 100% truth for the people to know that that's what you represent and what it is you do. So specifically, for instance, you look at the violence that we're incurring, not just in one city, but across the spectrum in the United States of America, what we're dealing with right now as it comes to our violence in urban areas. When you get in and you understand through the COVID, many police departments are shorthanded throughout the area. So you realize, again, it's put before you that we're going to have to fix this, that we're going to have to adjust it. But we need leadership that's going to speak truth to power, but also speak truth to the people. And for the second time, I'm before you, and I'm repeating one thing that I spoke on when I ran, and I'm repeating it for the second time tonight also. No one is coming for us. If we don't work on the issues in our community, they won't be fixed. The information that is availed to us has shown me that we're living in a plan that happened long before we even understood how to plan. So, for instance, for me, the 2030 plan has been enacted long before I got in office. We're in the process of developing the 2050 plan. So when you speak to change as to how you can impact things that have been instituted, you have to first understand this, that plan was created long before we even knew what it was that we're dealing with. So well, one thing I'm doing, I'm teaching civic leads to plan and to get strategic plans together for what they want for their community. Not just for today, definitely not for yesterday, but also for years to come. I think this would be our only contradiction to gentrification and to the things that ail us. So planning, just being able to transfer the information that we get in a way that we understand. And that becomes the challenge. But also, the reward on the other side of that is we can begin to build our communities back from that point of truth. So the expectation can stop being that this system is not working. This system is working exactly like it is intended to work. So we can no longer be confused about it being broken, because it is not broken. Yeah, this is exactly how the system is designed to work. So we have to step back into a position of teaching our youth who it is that they are, who it is that they come from. So we know that we come from a resourceful nation within a nation, a people that has survived a lot of trials and tribulations, because ultimately in the midst of it, we had a system of taking care of ourselves and those that were in our communities that were like us. And somehow we've lost that. The first plan of approach from a leadership standpoint, not political, because I choose not to be a politician, but I choose to remain a community leader, is that we have to address one another. One of the greatest things that we think we do to show that we have made it when we get a degree or we get to a place where our income changes is that we move to communities other than our community. And that's one of the greatest impacts over the years. You know, where are those that come from where we come from whose lives have gotten better in a sense of being available to the people in the community? We cannot afford to separate ourselves, nor can we be fearful of one another. More so, we must be fearful for those things that are presented when we step out of our communities or when we expect someone to have our interests or our back as a collective other than us.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. That's really very, very much so much true, especially the point of, you know, us vacating our community and our neighborhood. And, you know, everybody wants to do better. But, you know, we have a tendency to think that doing better means moving away. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times we can, you know, we can help better the situation that we're in if we just, you know, aid and assist with the knowledge and wisdom and understanding that we have attained through the education process or whatever, and give back to the community. But I get it, you know, and I don't, you know, knock anyone who has done it, but you know, we definitely need to give more back to our communities. Hassan, anything you want to say, brother?
Yes, sir, I do. First and foremost, it's a pleasure to have my brother back on the show.
Yeah.
I really do truly love that energy, that positivity. And from the first time that you were on, I heard the sincerity in your voice and the way that your mind works toward striving to be an instrument of change. I really feel, you know, my esteemed pleasure, man, to sit here and dialogue with you tonight. What I do want to know from you, though, because many times we set out on these journeys and people don't understand the amount of pressure and the time and the effort and energy that you done put into this, because you ran for office. That's a different thing when you're talking about running for city council, or you're talking about running for to become a delegate or a senator. This is a certain level of dedication that it takes. So what I want to know from you is, how did it feel, man, when you actually won, right? Because you were working up to that point. When you actually won, how was that sense of validation for you, man? And how did that work in your mind? Did you feel as though you know, now that I won, all right, now it's time to go? Or did you just take an opportunity to smell the roses, man, and say, man, you know what? I accomplished my goal of doing this, but I also, you know, got some more to come.
Yeah, well, brother Hassan, I appreciate all of the kind words that you said for me. Another thing that we particularly, nothing away from Sister Queen, that we have to do as black men is learn how to give each other props and respect.
That's right.
For the most part, we're walking by faith and not by sight. And those affirmations propel us. They make us continue on our journey. And for the most part, we're all similar. We're more alike than we're different, regardless of the circumstances that may have impacted our life or the direction of it. So I'm so appreciative of your kind words, brother, and not taking lightly. You know, again, it humbles me that so many people respect me enough to elect me. But this was a divine moment in my life where I'm truly walking by faith and not by sight. And the calling upon my life, my experiences are more related to the brother that's incarcerated today, that's the MC, my circumstances just turned out different. You know, I'm a high school dropout, they would say. 10th grade is the highest year of high school that I've completed. And I was also in a detention home in the late 80s for a crime where they had tried me as an adult. I probably would have came home in 2002, and this took place in 1987. But it was at a time when the juvenile laws were different. So I had a chance to take corrective action early, a long time ago. So with that being said, brother, I hope I'm setting up the platform to be understood and received, because I've been congratulated, and you've asked if there were any roses like that have been smelled. There are no roses to smell as long as we suffer in our communities, brother. Like, I will receive congratulatory remarks when those things change. Running was a very small part of the requirement. Getting elected was another small part, not as small as running. But to do what must be done, you had to get elected. See, the vision was not just to get elected. The vision was to impact my community from a standpoint of empowerment and teaching and allowing for black men from a masculine position to stand. Nothing against anybody else, because this is no concern of mine with someone's sexuality. And I've understood, and I understand that many have suffered. I have been white, regardless of color, sexual orientation, religious beliefs. I'm truly here for suffering. But I have a certain interest in the community in which I come from, which I choose to remain in. So that congratulations, those moments to bask, will potentially happen when I know that my community is better for me being elected. And that's going to take some time, because there's so much work.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir.
I am humbled by the support, but truly, brother, God has called us to go and build our churches, not for the sake of the buildings. He's called us to do this for the sake of peace. But right now, what I've done is made a brick to build a church. The church is not even complete. And ultimately, the goal is to free the people. So when the people agree and understand that the greatest enemy that we would ever have to face is that one that's in the mirror, and that no one is going to do for us what it is that we must do for ourselves. And it's been one of our greatest pitfalls as a people to believe that there's someone anywhere that's going to do more for us than it is that we have to do for ourselves. And the fact that we
have been broken down
by the society, the fact that we don't believe that we're well, that we don't believe that we're whole, that we don't believe that we're good enough, I'm here to share with you today that the God that created us is the same God that created the trees, the birds, and the bees. And they find themselves no place trying to be something greater than what it is that they are. There's no school for the birds, the bees, and the trees on how to be the birds, the bees, and the trees. But every place we turn as black men in America, there's some place saying that where we are and who we are is not appropriate for who it is that we should be. And I'm here to tell you, he has made us his greatest creation. So we are well, and with whatever thorn you may have, instead of waiting for it to be removed, I inspire you to build a tabernacle right there in that spot, and we can take care of everything that we need to take care of if we take care of ourselves.
That's right. And then I definitely agree with that.
I apologize for that background
noise. I'm out in the open air too, so I'm getting it too. You know, and I just want to say to everyone, you know, la ilaha illallah, there's no deity worthy of worship except for Allah and God. God alone. And when I say Allah, I mean God. So, you know, it's very important, and I appreciate you, brother, expressing that, because we need to understand that he is the creator of all things that exist, men and jinn. So that's truly who we deserve to give praise and glorification to. I want everybody, just hold a second. Jay Sean, because we have another caller in that was trying to call in from Buckingham Prison, who was the second round winner of the contest. Jay Sean, could you call him in? Let's hope the brother's still there. okay, but we can't get him on the line right now. Okay, Jason, we can't get him on the line. He attempted to call in. His name is Ellie, and he came in second place, and hopefully we can get him in sometime tonight. And if not, we'll try to have him call back next week and, you know, have you all meet this young man. It's a young, aspiring young man. And, remember, it's important for us to support everyone, you know. And please, anyone who is calling in, please press 1 so that we can pass you through. Please press 1. We have a lot of people calling in from 804. So anybody who's calling in, please press 1 so that we can place you in to give any positive comments or positive questions, because that's what we deal with here, positivity, y'all. We ain't here to beat each other down. We ain't here to toss stones. We just here to uplift and hear one another, you know, and that's important. I like what Brother Page was speaking on, and, you know, me and Brother Page are very much in contact with one another on a daily basis. And, you know, it's so true, supporting one another as black men is something that is lacking in our community. And it is something that we have to, you know, strive to change and rectify, because this hater thing is definitely not something that our ancestors are approved of. And even though in their time, they too was met with that challenge. And this is what happens when the methodology of hate of self is induced in a people. You know what I'm saying? So we have to learn this and really strive to overcome this type of barrier. Brother Page, what is exactly your goal at this present moment to aid the people with?
Well, we're coming up on budget season. And when I say coming up, it is rapidly approaching. So, you know, I want to make sure that we're getting our fair share. You know, traditionally, the thoughts and the concerns have been that money is spent in certain areas of town. And not amongst where, you know, it should go or be or where the money is intended. It may come from a federal level. To prepare us to do business and commerce with municipalities, not just Norfolk, but others. There's so many opportunities and projects where we look for, black contractors in various fields, and we just don't get it. So, and understanding if we don't get it, then we must prepare. So my greatest immediate approach would be in that, you know, preparing people that want to be in business to get out and to go into business. We have food deserts in several of our areas or communities abroad, not just in the city of Norfolk. And I had to accept that young people of this generation haven't had a chance to experience what those of us that are a little older have experienced. And that's doing commerce amongst the community, dealing with people that look like you, exchanging money back and forth. They have not seen it. They've heard of it, and we speak and we tell people to do it, but we are people that have continuously lost as much headway as we've gained in appearance, as much substantiated wealth in our communities we've lost. We had more money born in our communities and more businesses with people that look like us that we did business with in the 70s than we do today. So that has to be addressed. Yeah, economics is the greatest part of the civil rights movement, and it has never truly been addressed. It's only been addressed from a standpoint of asking for our fair share and complaining that we have not gotten, but doing the work that we need to do to ensure that it is that.
Yes, sir.
You know, and yes, the beginning phases of that is to help people get in business, to open up, legitimate businesses, to do the work that needs to be done around the town.
Yes, sir.
You know, for starters, you know, I just can't believe we can't find one person that has it in them that they could run a grocery store and possibly own that comes from the community. It's a lot of work, brother, a lot of loads to lift.
Mm-hmm.
I can certainly tell you, in running, there was a look of what we need to address first. And getting in, we have to prepare before these things could even get addressed. Right now, somebody, I understand the indifference with other leadership in various places, not just Norfolk, and the people. Everybody don't have the relationships that other people have. Everybody didn't grow up the same way. And sometimes it'll make calls for leadership to be in a position to make a decision without the people because they don't believe that the people know what's best for themselves based upon past decisions and what's actually going on before them. Now, I don't think this way. And if I ever thought that the community wasn't prepared, then I know enough to know that we must prepare the community. Because what I could never be is the expert about where you live, even if it's a part of my ward. I'm only going to be the expert in my household. If I'm that, to be honest, I'm sitting next to my wife right now, and she's kind enough because she knows that we're live not to look at me crazy to say, oh, you are, you know, because, you know, I'm fortunate to where that part of my family is intact, and it makes a difference. We have a lot of work to do. I just refuse to sit here and be dishonest and for the sake of being positive to share all of the things that I would like to do without being realistic about the cost of doing them and what it's going to take to get them done. Like, we need all hands on deck. I need men to show up and stand up, to go into the schools to mentor, even if you weren't the best student. If you could read a book, if you could just stand while another man reads a book. Our children learn twice as much by what they see as they do by what it is that they hear. You know, again, if we don't do this, it don't get done. It's going to take all hands on deck. How long is it going to take for us to really understand the devastation that has happened to us? It is if the black community has been struck with a nuclear bomb and everybody still expects us to live as if we have not been. Like, we have been from the crack epidemic to prior to that to the legalization of the lottery ticket. For our young people, they don't realize we had order and harmony in our community. When there was a numbers man, that was our first banking system, at least for my generation, for anybody that was raised in the 70s, or to even understand the prosperity that appeared for most of us that grew up poor in those days did not know that we were poor until after we were grown, because there was a prosperity amongst our community. There was a pride amongst us as a people. We studied our history. We were coming into our own, red, black, and green. We understood things that we hadn't before. So here we are on a day where I challenge you to ask a young person about Dr. King, let alone Malcolm X or Haile Selassie or Marcus Garvey or W.E.B. Du Bois or any body of any substance to the movement or cause of people of complexion, particularly our complexion, here in this land that we've been told that we were enslaved in for 400 years with a country that has not even turned 250 years old yet. You know, I'm not a politician. I'm not concerned about saying the right things. I'm more concerned about telling the truth so we can begin to do the right things.
Right.
Okay. All right. We're trying to call in this young man again. Hello? Hello? Okay. Can you hear us, Brother Ellie? Hello? We hear you. I think I heard him. Brother Ellie? Okay. I don't know what's going on there.
1565. 1565.
Are you there? Okay. Well, we're going to have to try to get them back on another day. Anyone else call in, Jay Sean? Do we have another number? Do we have 0887?
No, we got some other. We got some other numbers.
Anybody calling in?
1454, you live. 1454.
Hello?
It's not working.
Hello?
Hello?
Like everything.
Yes. Who's calling in?
You saw him on the season?
Well, you probably want to watch me because I accused it. Hello? I guess they're having another conversation. Let's go to another call. 5885, you live.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Yes, hello. And who's calling?
LaToya.
Oh, LaToya, good evening, sister. How you doing? Is there any question or comment you have for Mr. Page?
Of course. This is never a podcast. This is always a podcast. I always bring good information, very informative, never here to beat each other down, always here to lift each other up. That I must say. Each one people teach everyone and keep on bringing all this knowledgeable information that is needed. And for the brother that's speaking, continue talking because it's needed. And continue reaching out to one, grab another one, and let them know that we can get out here and do it together.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay. We got a ton of people calling in today, Sister LaToya. Hang in there with us, okay? Anybody else, Jay Sean, we got?
Hello?
1173,
yes.
You live.
Yeah, this is me, Miles. How you doing?
Good evening, Brother Miles. How you doing, brother? Do you have a question or comment for Councilman Page? Page?
First of all, what kind of councilman is he? Like a councilman or a senator, what?
He can answer that question.
Yes, sir. I'm a councilman.
Okay, now I got two things for you. Is this your first time winning, or you was reelected?
No, first time winning. I'm not a politician.
Okay, now
first time been in office for 2 months.
Okay, now the guy you took over for, right? I got two questions for you. The guy you took over for. His agenda that he had, right? Did you see any good positive things in there? And if there are you going to continue to let them, you know, work with that? And number two is, what are you doing for the, because I'm an advocate for people with disability, because I'm blind, and I'm an advocate for people with vision loss and all other kind of disabilities. What are y'all going to do about helping out people with disability in your ward?
Well, sir, I appreciate you. I appreciate your directness. I'm going to answer that two-part question. If I need your help. To get back on track with it. Let's start with the first part as to my predecessor. The ward system has been enacted in the city of Norfolk for roughly about 30 years. And the person that preceded me is the only person that served at this capacity. He was there specifically for 30 years. So the fight has not changed. The evil that exists that we're fighting has not changed. The method of fighting and the ultimate goals as to what it is that we want, I think, have changed. It's such a difficult thing for us as a people because of the generational gaps and the things that we're experiencing. My predecessor came up in a time where a black man and a white man could not drink from the same water fountain. So changes that he saw take place were tremendous. I have experienced firsthand the impact of the crack epidemic on our community. I remember how our community was before the onset of crack. I actually call it 1985 BC. That's not before Christ. That's before coke and crack hit the black community. So I'm implementing the heart and the passion that he has for the people that he has served. But one thing that I'm bringing along is the message that we must come together to do this. We left him out by himself, but he spoke up for us, but we did not get developed, nor did we get in position to follow through on the things that were spoke of. So that would be one change that I want to bring. I actually want to implement and develop some folks, so we're not just talking about what's not being done or not being able to do for contracts, because we're going to have people that are certified that understand how these things work, and I want to develop these folks right from the communities in which you're being served. From a standpoint of the disabilities, I'm a disabled veteran also, so I concur, and I understand the importance of that. So I'm by force, not just by choice, an advocate for anyone, specifically those that have incurred lifestyles and things in their life such as you have, that we need to look out for. But the only way that we could be productive in those areas truly is not to make the decisions for folk in your position, but to stay connected to folk in your positions to make sure that the decisions are being made to benefit you the right way. There's not anything that I know of specifically right now in Ward 4 that does not address the needs of the handicapped, but I know that there's something in our media right now for the city of Norfolk, and I'm not certain, but I think it relates to something that has happened in public housing. But I'm not 100% accurate. I know we do have a concern in the city of Norfolk right now as it comes. And I don't think it's something that can't be fixed or addressed. I don't think it's anything major. But I am an advocate. So.
Good question. Thank you, Brother Musk.
The reason I asked that because I just want to finish on one thing. I spoke on the disability thing because majority of these congressmen, these councilmen, these senators, and all, they usually put that stuff on the back burner.
Yes.
And most of us is getting fed up with that.
Yes, sir.
That's why.
Yes, sir.
That's why when we hear y'all talk, we hear what y'all saying, but we just want to see if what you're saying is true, not true. But we'd rather you do stop saying and just do what you're saying.
Right.
Thank you, Brother Miles. Thank you so much, man. I don't mean to cut you, brother, but we do have other people who want to give an opportunity.
Don't be cutting me, man.
I appreciate you, Brother Miles. I appreciate your words, and I
can't wait. Jason, you got another caller?
You want to try that, you want to try that 1454 again?
Yeah, you can try it again, brother. 1454. No, try 1565.
Well, okay. Let me try to call it one more time.
Yes, sir. It's a beautiful show. Beautiful show tonight. I appreciate the questions and everything. It's very, very much needed. Okay. Okay, brother. I don't know what's going on. We can't get them on the line. Okay.
You probably got his snacks.
Yeah. Well, the brothers behind the barbed wire city, you know. So he, you know, we don't know what might be going on, but hopefully he's safe. You try that other number again, Jay Sean, to see if they were online. I know whoever it was cooking, and it sounded like they were cooking.
Okay, 1-1-4-5-4 you live.
Hello?
1-1-4-5-4.
Are you there? Okay. All right. Well, we tried. That's all we can do. You know? Okay. And I believe that's That's my wife Tina calling in. Okay. All right. Let's move on to the show. Hassan, do you have any more questions you would like to present to the councilman?
Yeah, well, you know, I was listening to what he was saying earlier as pertains to the youth. And right here in Richmond, just the other day, I had the opportunity, the pleasure to be in the company of the Armstrong Leadership Program here in the city of Richmond.
Okay.
And we were at the Boys and Girls Club. And, and really had an opportunity to talk with them a lot about different things, such as civic engagement. And really what that means, what I was wondering is that, you know, do you know of any programs there in the city where you are, in your ward, that speak to those things? And if not, do you have plans to, like, strive to implement to get the youth a little bit more involved?
I would love to do that, because ultimately that's being solutionary for the future. And those are the types of programs we need to get into. One thing I was, when responding to Brother Miles' questions, as far as what you're going to interact as implement that was by my predecessor, if we can begin to prepare our youth, I don't plan on being in this position for 30 years. I want to keep it fresh and current and begin to develop people to replace me earlier than that, that can implement some new energy. And to keep things more current, you know. In all honesty, at 52, I'm pretty much outdated with what's going on with our youth today because of my experiences. They're experiencing things that were nowhere near our experiences when we grew up. And we need to get them involved. So I love that. That is a recommendation that I've just gotten from you, Brother Hassan. That I'm looking for some help implementing immediately. Yes, we need more young people civically engaged, understanding not just that we're in office, not even saying all of them should be, but the fact that we're in office for their sake and that they have a right to participate in the process of planning their futures and their day. You know, we have to prepare them for that because no one is coming for any of us. We have to do this. And we have to do it. And I keep reiterating that because if we don't, it's not going to get done. And the thought of us as a people, Lord, even though it's not all of us, that there's somebody somewhere who's preparing to do more for you than you're willing to do for yourself.
Mm.
Like when you hear it that way, it should send a shiver to you and make you shift your thoughts if you're thinking that there's somebody somewhere that's going to do more for you than you're going to do for you. And we must understand, as long as we're asking for help, you cannot tell help how to help you. How can you be in peril and have a challenge to cry for help and then know the help that's needed? You don't need no help. No, not at least in the area that you're asking for it in. You might need some help and some discipline because you got the answer. You have the answer. But at the same situation, you guided yourself to the peril that you're in. So, yeah, when you're asking for help, you can't tell help how to help you. So we have to be we have to reinstitute the fact that we can do and we must begin to do for ourselves and for our community. And I know it looks grim now if you're just watching the news, but for those of us that are hitting the pavement, it's happening right before our eyes. It is happening right before our eyes. I mean, the type of civic engagement we get from brothers that have been incarcerated, you know, God will raise the nation for his sake.
We got a call in, y'all. Hold on. Oh, hello?
0887.
Who's speaking?
Hey, Councilman Tate, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good. So my question for you, I know you are a councilman for Ward 4.
Yes.
And so I know you talked about...
Can you tell the people who's speaking?
This is Stacey Armstead.
Okay, pleasure to speak to you, Stacey. Good evening.
Hey, Ms. Armstead. Stacey Armstead.
And so I'm one of your Ward 4 members. And so, you know, you were speaking about that a lot of things out here are already here that people that really work for our community. And so a combination of my question for you is in terms of also getting the youth out and having them to be civic minded. What's going to be some of your methods to, one, raise the participation in Ward 4 so that you can educate the people in our particular area, and as well as the youth, so they can really understand what does it mean to be civic minded, so they can begin to make better decisions and really understand what's going on in the city.
Right. Now, I appreciate that question, Stacey. And in line with you asking specifically, our first town hall is going to be called How Bad Do You Want It? Where I'm going to connect the dots with all of the departments in the city that already exist to the needs that our youth have been asking for. You know, we have some that have asked for job assistance, and we have a mobile unit that trains in welding right now, and the training is taking place actually in front of the shipyard. And I use that as one example because, of course, that was in place long before I got here. And I already have access to so many youth that I've worked with on a collegiate level. They helped me campaign and they helped me get elected. I also own a bail bonding business, so it's had me in the community for so many years. So I've had the opportunity to work with you. But Stacey, I want to be honest with you. The program that we're going to need to develop, it's going to take input from the entire community. For me to sit here and tell you that that's already decided and done while we're dealing with violence at the rate that we are, when a young man like me who sought, you know, membership in a fraternity in college, Cap Alpha Psi, I'm also a Mason, but to now have young people that would much rather be Crips, Bloods, GDs, and Vice Lords than they would rather be any of that. I know my approach and what I want to say when I get these kids together instead of speaking to them separately in the pockets that I have access to. But that, how are we going to get them all together? That is a challenge right now. And if you know anything about me, like, because we own this radio program, I'm not going to say something because it sounds like the right thing to say or because it'll make me look like I'm this great I am. You know, what I decided to do was to show up to face the issues that are at hand from a different perspective and to maintain community-mindedness in what I'm doing. And it's going to take the community's help to get these things done. What I first wanted to do to address this was to get mothers together that have experienced the loss of a young person through violence, because my primary approach is we have to stop this violence that's going on before we could even get into the core of these other things, because that is perpetuating a more violent community. We have kids that are not violent by nature, not violent at heart, who have to become to survive in the day in which we live. And I want to get ahead of that. And the old tactics, to be honest, that we've used, that's not going to work. That's not going to be well for that. So maybe utilizing the help of the NAACP. See, my mindset, when I'm saying it, no one is going to come for us, that we're going to have to do this. No longer as a community can we look to leadership as if leadership is going to have all of the answers. That is a false way of thinking, and we will continue in a spiral of quicksand if we believe that there's someone that's going to do more for us than it is that we have to do for ourselves. So what I continuously do is I look for partners, for people that are already out in the community, that want to maintain an engagement so we can begin to put more programs in place. I have Teeny Weenie that has a Mothers Against Son basketball game coming up on Thursday. And I think that game is at the Huntersville Center. I'm not 100% sure. So, you know, we have pockets of youth engagement that are spread out, but we need to develop a program that is central, that we have as many youth involved in from as many different communities as possible so our children can once again know one another. So as they mature and get older and go to different high schools, there's some type of link or tie that makes it a little bit more difficult to cause harm to someone that looks like you that grew up in your community when you have a tie or connection to the family.
So let me ask a question, Brother Page. So what would be the first key thing that would be essential to young our youth learning how to be civic? How, like, what would be one of the key first things that they would need to learn?
Wow. That's the first thing I wanted to say, and like I said, I speak truth to power. Sometimes we have to tell folks stuff that they don't want to hear. In the household, doctor. In the household. Yeah, in the household. It must start at home, brother. It must start at home. And, you know, in a lot of cases with the situations that exist that we deal with in our community, man, we have a lot of first steps that we take. But when that household has not been addressed, and this is the place that they're going back into, and in a lot of instances, it may be the source of their trauma that's been dealt with. And when we all hear this great, you know, increase of awareness as it is to mental health, you know, the first step is simply what Stacy has said. We need to get them together. We need to get them together. And that's where the challenge is. You know, right now, our parks and recreation centers are closed. The Southside Boys and Girls Club is doing a great job. We have people like Teeny Wing. We have our coaches that are doing this without the help of Parks and Recreation in most cases as far as spending time. These are our frontline people. So getting together with the coaches as we have in the past is one approach of getting access to kids that are already together and that are already you know, being mentored to some type of degree, personal passion. And I know what we have to do is greater than what JP has a passion about. But my personal passion is for those kids that have been counted out, those kids that statistically don't look like they're going to make it, those kids that if we don't show up, if we don't mentor, if we don't spend time with, that are doomed, that will not make it. For certain, we know that they will. You know, so 2 months
in. I'm glad to hear that, because I spoke to you before about man to man maintaining the nurture to maintain the nurture, and I think this would be a wonderful program that Community United Focus has developed, which was a program that was utilized within the barbed wire center and penitentiaries of Virginia, which had an amazing success rate. You know, so
right.
I can't wait to sit with you and present to you that proposal for that program and see if we can get some funding to actualize this program in the community. This has been a fabulous show. We're going to let Mr. Page get on with his life and his wonderful wife. And I thank you, brother, for calling in, and I thank your wife for allowing us the opportunity to share you and enjoy your knowledge and your wealth of knowledge that you provided and the wisdom. You know, I deeply appreciate it. And as you know, one companion to another, brother, you know, thank you for doing what you're doing. And I want everybody to understand that, you know, leadership is something that is God-given. And when God gives you that ability to lead, it doesn't mean that you have all the answers. It doesn't mean that you are the all-knower of how to solve everything. But a good leader knows how to initiate and follow and take the initiation of others to impact to bring about benefit that he's striving to bring about in those who he leads. And that's, you know, a leader utilizes that wealth of wisdom and counter leadership ability that his partners or the people he is leading also have. And he utilizes it, and he puts them in a position to allow him to take their fountain of knowledge and apply it in a way in which he can be a benefit to everyone. You know, that's and I think that, brother, you have demonstrated that to us tonight, and I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your time. And please, brother, know that, you know, we support you, and we just want to help you do what it is that you need to do, okay?
Well, sir, I thank you. I thank all of you, and I need you. And that program you're speaking of, let's go, because we need a rites of passage.
Okay.
We need something to identify all right. in our youth to transition into our manhood. So I'm going to call on you for that, as I would appreciate you calling on me for anything that is necessary to benefit the citizens of the city of Norfolk, particularly those in Ward 4.
Thank you, brother. And Ward 4, y'all got a good one. So let's support him and let's keep it moving. And we thank you again, brother John Page. This is Councilman John Page, Ward 4 of
yes.
Norfolk, Virginia.
Thank you.
And let's all give him a nice hand. Let's give him a nice hand
yes,
there. And everybody, you know, let's get out there and support our other, you know, leaders and those who are striving to step up in the community and do the beneficial things in the community. You know? And so with that, we're going to I want to thank my callers for calling in, Sister LaToya, Brother Miles, and my beloved Stacy Armstead, you know, thank you for calling in and asking such beneficial questions and also, you know, just bringing content to light so that the people can understand what it is that we're doing here. And we want to give a big shout out to my man Brian Bo, who put it down. The young man Ellie, we're going to hopefully have him on the show. He was the second runner-up in the Black Unity the Black Unity event that they had at Buckingham Correctional Center in the state of Virginia. So, you know, y'all stay tuned and listen to this brother and support him. And so we just look forward to doing more work. Anybody that we can help and assist, please call us and let us know how we can help you. And, you know, DM us on Facebook or, you know, Instagram. You know, however you can contact us. You know, you can call us at 757-589-9938. That's 757-589-9938. Okay, so reach out to us, and we're here for you. Community United Focus, freedom over everything. You know, we are here doing the work with boots on the ground and in this society. So reach out to us. We have other organizations as CORE, you know, we have other programs that we have going on. Point of Impact is just the platform in which we're using to, you know, put this message out. Mother Queen, Sister, you want to say anything to the people before we go?
You know, the each one teach one. We always got to keep someone that is uprising or someone that we can have to teach them the way, like pass the torch to. So we don't want to take the torch with us and bury it. So we got to keep it passed. So I just wanted to, you know, keep all hearts and minds clear as far as when it comes to accountability and loving on one another. And fabulous information. I'm just proud of everybody, especially the guys of FOE. They always do me proud.
Mm-hmm. They are doing it. They are doing it, y'all. And that's just straight up. They in the barbed wire city creating positive environment, creating positive community, man. That's what it's about. And everybody, you know, don't always listen. You know, try to find out for yourself what's going on, you know, because people have this stereotype about, you know, brothers and sisters in the being. And, you know, it's really not always that way. You know, they got these shows that they show on cable and everything, and people in prison just illustrating, you know, savage behavior. That's not really what it's about. So stop falling for the propaganda. You know what I mean? Brother Hassan, brother to the people, raise your hands up.
Yeah. Touch the sky, brother. And that's what we was doing tonight. It was a plethora of information offered to the people. And I believe that, you know, Councilman Page is the epitome of the type of individual that you need taking charge for leadership within our community. He said he's not a politician, you know, and I believe that wholeheartedly that you don't have to be a politician to have an effect on politics. And so, you know, I really want to big him up for that, and all the brothers and the sisters on the inside. Of course, man, we love all of you. Every last one of you from the Virginia Prison Justice Network, FOE, PRC, VAPOC, and everybody else on the inside that's moving and shaking and doing the good work of keeping this hope alive, man. I thank everybody, and I just appreciate it all, man. And thanks again to Councilman Page for his contribution tonight. I think it goes a long way.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks belong to Allah, the Lord of mankind and jinn, the Lord of all of mankind and jinn and all that exists. Ameen. Listen, everyone, please, just at this moment, please, hold before I close. Brother Jay Sean, anything you want to say?
Another good show, man. Another positive, motivating show, man. They just keep
That's
kicking
right.
them out
That's
one
right.
one podcast at a time.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
That's it.
And, you know, there are a number of good shows that come on throughout the week. Brother Shadi has a show that come on Wednesdays. Your sister has a show that comes on, what, Thursday night?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so there's a number of shows that you can tap into and hear positive talk and positive feedback. Okay, so with that, though, I just want everybody to take this time, man, you know, to do something at this moment, at this very moment. Don't procrastinate. Just stop and do something at this very moment, you know, and do something that's going to benefit you and that's going to benefit your family and that's going to benefit your community. Do something that will benefit you not only in this life but in the hereafter, you know, that will benefit your family, that will benefit your community, your locality. You know, you have it in you. You have the courage. You have the strength. You know, just stop what you're doing. Take the time right now and make that change. All right? We love you. We see you all. Everyone, please be strong. Keep your head up. The fight is real. And, you know that you ain't the only one going through something. You know, we all going through something. But if we just hold on to the rope of Allah, we surely can see it through. For surely he is the disposer of all of our affairs. Ameen. Everyone, be strong. Be safe. Assalamu alaikum. We love you. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.
Wa alaikum salam.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
I want you to know that I love you. Show the world that I love you when I say I love you. 2 years and we still running.
Oh.
To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make your pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future's scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you I wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.